Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, ma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله مرحبا أهلا وسهلا بكم to one and all سيدي آلہ حضرت امام احمد رضا خان رحمت اللہ تعالی علی mentions تیری نسل پاک میں ہے بچہ بچہ نور کا تو ہے عین نور تیرا سب گھرانہ نور کا تیری نسل پاک میں ہے بچہ بچہ نور کا تو ہے عین نور تیرا سب گھرانہ نور کا چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے تو زندہ ہے واللہ تو زندہ ہے واللہ میری چشم عالم سے چھپ جانے والے Alhamdulillah, these are the ash'ar composed by Imam al-Kalam, Ash-Shah Mufti, Mawlana Ahmad Raza Khan, Fazle Barilvi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. It's always good to start off with the ash'ar related to or composed by Sayyidi Ala Hadrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. Yes, dear viewers, we are Alhamdulillah discussing a very beautiful topic. Jihad, dear viewers. We are talking about going and returning back to the basics. Subhanallah. What are the basics? You are to learn that just in a moment. Stay locked in tune with us until the end of today's program. Kindly do not leave, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah. Before we go any further, talking about going back to the basics, Mawlana Sahib can maybe perhaps inshallah azza wa jalla shed some light with regards to attaining closeness to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the quickest and the fastest way of attaining closeness, qurb, and proximity to the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jalla, our Akhir Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. MashaAllah, there are some ways of gaining closeness to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And among the very quick ways, you know, among the very simple ways for us to attain the closeness of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the closest person to me on the day of judgment, the closest person to me on the day of judgment is the one who would recite the most salawat within the
world. Baat,
Subhanallah. So this is a very beautiful way of gaining closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment, as well as increasing the love that we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Along with this, some very simple ways as well that we can build our strength, increase our strength, the strength of our relationship with our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also acting upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Constantly pulling our lives back to the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a way of increasing love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gaining closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like you recited now, some beautiful ash'ar, praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you listen to the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you speak of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this also grows that affection, that affiliation that you have with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So recite salawat in abundance. Stay upon the sunnah and always just speak about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to kalam regarding him, ash'ar regarding him, words of praise regarding him, and inshallah azza wa jalla you'll feel that connection with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam going stronger and stronger day in and day out inshallah.
Kya baat hai. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, dear viewers, so it's Durood-e Paak upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should recite. Aala Hazrat says, Ka'be ke Badr ud-Duja, tum pe karoro durood. Taiba ke Shams ud-Duha, tum pe karoro durood. Dil karo thanda mera, woh kafe paan chand sa. Ajee, seene pe rakh do zara, tum pe karoro durood. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We are living in a time, ya Sayyidi, where information is so easily accessible.
Alhamdulillah.
By the touch of a button, we can download books, we can listen to books. Mawlana Sahib, alhamdulillah. And we see people having much, much interest in researching, in self-studies.
Right.
People show, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, but what's astonishing and amazing is that We are living in such times when information is so easily accessible by the touch of a button. People want to know questions, they Google. People want to know questions, they download books, they would listen to books. And there are many other ways of attaining ilm and knowledge, Mawlana Sahib.
Alhamdulillah.
So I often had seen that though ulama-i kiram, our seniors, our akabirin, have always motivated the general awam to seek ilm al-deen, to seek knowledge. But what we notice is that though information is so easily accessible, it's found in abundance. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You can obtain your ilm through a teacher, ustad as well. As I just mentioned, there are various forms and platforms and ways of learning, Mawlana Sahib. Mm-hmm. Online classes, going to a school, going to madrasa, going to jamia, going to college, varsity, so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah. But we notice and we see that that complex ilm and knowledge, Mawlana Sahib, you know, which are intricate masail, intricate things about life, about Islam, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, matters related to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or things surrounding the life of our aqa and master, sahaba ikram, Ali Muridwan. MashaAllah, people out there have knowledge, they have ilm related to subjects and discussion of this nature. And sometimes it really makes me interested to know that, MashaAllah, this person has such good passion when he speaks about history, Islamic tariq, so on and so forth. I have noticed that, mashallah, zawajallah, many people who never used to show interest as far as reading books are concerned, mashallah, now they show interest. Mm-hmm. But we have two different types of people in society. One that, mashallah, when they are learning and in the process of attaining ilm al-deen, when they are rectified, reformed, when they are told and given another information, they would contemplate and reflect over, you know, this information that's given to them in order for them to understand the deen better.
Mm-hmm.
So situations change, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, people show interest. But Mawlana Sahib, on the other hand, though these masail are there are so many Islamic rulings and regulations pertaining to Islam. As I'm saying, farz ulum, namaz is farz, we all know namaz is farz. There are masail related to salah, Islamic rulings related to roza, fasting, hajj, zakat, so on and so forth. And what we notice that people show more interest in complex masail, in masail, Islamic rulings, which are very intricate and dangerous at times if you would not mention it properly, research it properly, understand it from an authentic mufti of Islam, Mawlana Sahib. But the general awam, I'm talking about the layman, you know, they show a lot of interest in debating on matters of this. For example, taqdeer, destiny. I have seen ulama ikram hesitant to even mention anything related to that, Mawlana Sahib. Allah. But we find that general awam show a lot of interest in matters related to the star, moon, sun, what Islam says, what the Quran says. They will quote Quran, they will quote hadith. About the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about any matter, any hadith. Even you speak to a doctor nowadays, Mawlana Sahib, they have some information to tell you what they know about Islam. But illa mashallah, as I'm saying, it's a good thing. But what's very difficult to understand is that ulama-i kiram, the scholars of Islam who have spent years mastering this department, striving to obtain this ilm so that they could convey the correct message and peygham to the masses out there. But those who do the crush course, those who just have maybe perhaps read a few books or heard from some people, they then debate on complex masail with learned scholars and ulama-i kiram. And I fail to understand this, that why is this in the first place, Mawlana Sahib? Why can't we just have people who would acknowledge their mistake and say, I leave this to the ulama-i kiram because he would know better. Just as an alim al-deen who have not studied medicine, he would not give his comment as far as medicine is concerned. He would give his comments as far as Islamic matters are concerned, rulings are concerned. But we see laymen jumping and mentioning or giving their opinions with relation to these masail. How can we overcome this matter, Ya Sayyidi?
I think it's actually unfortunately a trend of ignorance. As much as alhamdulillah information is widely accessible, it's a trend of ignorance to learn Islamic rulings just for the sake of and with the intention of debating them. Try to show other people how you know certain rulings and you want to debate with certain people or debate with scholars of that field. So this shouldn't be the intention of learning. The intention of learning, to practice. The intention of learning is to make amal. Why do we learn knowledge regarding deen? We learn the knowledge of deen so that we can act upon it, so that we can better ourselves. But those who learn just for the sake of, well, when I find the next alim or the next scholar or the next molana, as they say in South Africa, for a scholar they tend to say molana. When I find the next molana or the next mufti sahab, I got a few things to tell him because I need to show him how much I know. I read this and I heard this, and what's your opinion, and my opinion is this instead. Unfortunately, we do see it that when it comes to various other fields or various fields within the world, people leave the experts of that field to speak on those fields. So for example, when it comes to medicine, then we look for the doctor and we try to ask the doctor's opinion with regards to medicine. When it comes to law, we ask the lawyer's opinion with regards to law. When it comes to any field, architecture, you find the architect. When it comes to ilm al-deen, it seems like everybody has their own opinion. Instead of heading towards the scholar of deen and asking, what is it that you have learned regarding this? I've seen that among the traits that we find of ulama, of learned people, people who are actually, Allah Ta'ala blessed them with lots of ilm, is that they have lots of silence. They speak little. But when they speak, it's always pearls of wisdom. They know when to mention what to mention. Because there's a hikmah, there's a wisdom in mentioning the right thing at the right time. So it is pointless just speaking too much. Many a times nonsense where sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. Rather, we should speak less and listen more. Someone once told me, you have one tongue, one mouth, and yet two ears. It teaches us we need to listen more and speak less. Therefore, we have these ears, we need to absorb as much as we can. We need to learn as much as we can. And don't just try that I need to prove to the dunya what it is that I know. Really, genuinely be in search of knowledge. I've seen scholars that sometimes don't answer certain questions, because they know that if I answer this, the questioner is only asking with the intention of debating, not with the intention of learning.
Masha'Allah.
And so they choose to remain silent because they want to teach those who want to learn. They don't want to debate with those who want to debate. And so we should have these basic intentions that I genuinely want to learn, and I want to learn with the niyyah of bettering myself, of making amal upon this so that I can become a better person and a better Muslim.
Alhamdulillah. Will this apply for the person who says that he has learnt whatever he knows about Islam 50 years ago, 40 years ago? In South Africa, we have the system where before ulama ikram came in this country, a lot of ulama ikram, mashallah, served in South Africa.
Alhamdulillah.
We have many kubur that, you know, goes back to 150 years, 200 years. We have a great wali of Allah, many awliya in South Africa. Many, mashallah, of our UK brothers came to South Africa, and especially in the Grand Shura, whenever they're in South Africa, they would visit the beautiful shrine of Hazrat Sayyidina Sufi Sahib,
rahmatullahi
ta'ala Ali, Sayyidina Bacha Pir Sakar, rahmatullahi ta'ala. Likewise, many awliya kamilin are resting in this country, mashallah. And they worked very hard, Mawlana Sahib, and mashallah, after them, ulama ikram came. But before actually ulama ikram, it is said that they were munshi type people in this country. So munshi refers to those people that knew some basics of Islam, mashallah, that they had learned. And they were the people trying to hold the fort strong, keep it strong, keep the palace strong. And they supported, mashallah. But there are people even today who have reached the age of 60, 70, and they mentioned that, well, you know, 50 years ago, I studied under certain munshi Sahib. He was a person who was so knowledgeable, so learned. And mashallah, we actually appreciate the efforts that they have put in to save the aqaid and iman of lots of people, Mawlana Sahib. You know how they did it? They never have much ilm, but at least through kalams, you know, through natipak, increasing ishq-e rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They never used to get involved in much masail from what I know or what I've heard from people. They would have left that for the ulama-i kiram. But aside from that, basics is what they have definitely taught. But as we know, Mahasab, with basic information of the dunya, you cannot excel in the dunya. Then how can you excel with basic information in the deen as well?
Yes.
Want to attain Allah's qurb, so you have to have proper information, not just basic information. So what happens is that when we confront such people in programs or wherever we are, we notice that it's important to rectify these issues, but you get some who are very adamant that I had learned this 30 years ago from my ustad. This is how he has taught me how to perform the ghusl of imayyat, for example. This is what he has taught me, you know, regarding the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when you see that there are mistakes done in what he was taught, maybe a few years ago, maybe many years back, but all these years he practiced that which he always assumed was correct.
Right.
But now when the correct information is given, how do you rectify this mistake, from Nasa?
You see, we must understand and also share with people that we must know that practicing something or doing something for a very long period of time, it's in no way a proof of the correctness of that.
Oh.
So sometimes someone is doing something, but they're doing something for many years, yet they're doing it wrong. I'll give one basic example. Sometimes in Madani Qafila, you learn that when we are reciting anything in Salah, like we say Takbir Tahreema, Allahu Akbar, in order to enter Salah, reciting Surah Fatiha, reciting a Surah after Surah Fatiha, Tasbih of Ruku, Tasbih of Sajda, Tashahud, etc. within Salah, it must be recited loud enough that you yourself are able to hear yourself if there is no sound around you. Not too loud, but of course loud enough that you are able to hear yourself if there's no one around you. And then we have people that say that, no, but I've been performing salah for years and I recite everything in my mind without my lips moving. And people have these misconceptions. They say, no, don't worry. Allah Ta'ala knows the condition of the heart and the mind. That's true. Allah Ta'ala knows the condition of the heart and mind. However, there are certain ahkam, there are certain rulings. So when you're reciting Takbir Tahreema, you need to actually be saying the words Allahu Akbar. But people have this misconception in their minds. And you'll find there are people who perform salah day in and day out without moving their lips. Without the lips moving, without any sound emanating from the lips, and such people will be rage or argue that I've performed salah for 40 years, what do you know? What is your age? I've performed salah for longer than you are living. You know, a lot of these questions, a lot of these statements come about. Whilst it's important for us to know that us having done something continuously for a long period of time does not always warrant the correctness of that. It's possible that we have been making certain mistakes. Therefore, the one who wants to gain, the one who wants to learn, must ensure that he presents himself as an empty cup. You know the beautiful example that as long as you believe the cup is full, as much as you pour water into a full cup, it will just overflow because there's no space for anything to enter. We need to empty ourselves. When you see the cup is empty, you always have more space to fill because it's empty.
Wonderful.
So we have to consider ourselves that we are prepared to learn. Whatever we know is not enough. It's as if we don't yet know. And therefore, if we are able to attain knowledge, we are ready to attain knowledge. We are the Sahaba Ikram, the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest of ulama. Really, which scholar in the dunya can match the ulama among the Sahaba Ikram? None of us, no one. Yet, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the way they sought knowledge from the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as if they didn't have knowledge. They came as empty vessels waiting for the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to pour knowledge into them. And they continuously learned. So we need to prepare ourselves and our minds in that way that we are empty vessels and we are waiting to learn. As much as can come into us, we are willing to take and we want to learn. What's most important now, when we know that we are still empty and we want to gain, is to find the correct source of knowledge.
That's very important. This is a big worry
in society because information is so easily available by the click of a button, touch of a button, on touch screen nowadays, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we have these tablets and cell phones and computers and laptops and all of these can be means of giving us information. It's just that the source of information is not always paid attention to.
Okay, so basically the person who wants to obtain any sort of information,
right,
he should not be given an option of variety to choose from.
Most definitely.
So when you click Google, for example, you are trying to search for something and then you want to know the masla of using a miswak, for example.
Right.
How a miswak is used, what is the sunnah tariqah of holding the miswak, right. What size of miswak should be, for example. And now you're going to get a host of varieties on the internet. One scholar says this, or one organization says that, or one person wrote an article on this subject.
Right.
There's so many options to choose from.
Right.
A person who's a layman who wants to learn, why would you introduce yourself to a list of options to choose from? How do you know which one is the correct one? And this is the problem that we have. I have seen a lot of people say that, well, I checked it up. It was like this on the internet. I checked it up. It was like this in the book. But which book? Where? Who told you to go
question,
and get the book?
Important question, Manasa, on the same subject. When we get sick, do we Google the sickness and then go to the pharmacy and tell the pharmacist that I've checked up 10 different medications that can treat my sickness and I want that certain medication? What do they tell us?
Yeah.
Where's your script? In South Africa, the system is there. Where's your script? That a doctor needs to write out the script. He needs to diagnose because he knows which medication is well suited to you.
MashaAllah, excellent.
Just like that. Just finding a host of opinions and then choosing that we're going to choose that which we think is suitable to us is very dangerous. Because we might choose the wrong thing. We might follow someone who doesn't know. No, but I checked him out and I feel quite satisfied. By what standards? We never knew the standards of checking someone. And then we said, no, but I felt satisfied with this and I liked this opinion and this made more sense to me. No.
Yeah, and others mentioned Islam is so simple, you're making it complicated. But Maulana Sahib, I feel that some take it for granted.
You know? Right.
Islam is the deen that guides us towards Allah's closeness.
Alhamdulillah.
We came here Many people become enemies to others. We are being tested with poverty, with hunger, with business, with health, with life, with so many different challenges, Maulana. People find it very difficult to earn money to make this living possible. You know, people are struggling out there. Mm. There are so many situations of life out there. And in all of this, Allah Kareem wants you to attain His closeness.
Alhamdulillah.
You have to be pak, you have to be clean, you have to know much about Islam in order to attain Allah's qurb and closeness. So I think people have focused, and people currently at this very moment as well, you said in any gathering a cycle of, you know, a circle of a halqa of what, darsi halqa call it. You know, we're learning something. And people start to yawn the moment you talk about namaz, roza, hajj, zakat. They want to know, but what did the Prophet say about the moon? You know, how far from the earth? What is Islam's view on the earth spinning around the moon, or the moon rotating around the sun, rotating around the earth? You know, talk on these complex masail. We want to know more about these situations, mm-hmm. what Islam said about this, what Islam. But if you look at it, Mawlana Sahib, Allahu Akbar, look at Sahaba Ikram's ilm and knowledge. Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu could have filled 70 camels with only the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha.
Subhanallah.
Huh? With the registers. Stocked and loaded on 70 camels.
Absolutely.
But Mawlana Sahib, if you research the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, when we do so, when we see and you go through his sayings and his teachings, back to the basics.
Absolutely.
His words of advice. Please, I want the viewers of Madani channel to actually go on the internet, because now I'm advising you to go on the internet. But go to the right source, www.tausami.net. And there's hundreds and thousands of books there. Download the book on Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu, Karamati Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu, or sayings and teachings of Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu. And likewise, the teachings of Imam Azam, for example, Imam Shafi'i, any of the great akabirin. And see how simple advice they give. They give you advice for contentment of the heart. How can you be tranquil in your life? Because people who are millionaires, billionaires, they are searching and they are hunting for peace.
Yes.
Their monies and their luxuries, they cannot buy them sukoon and peace.
Yes.
The one who's living, sleeping on the floor on rocky trains, Mawlana Sahib, is having a peaceful sleep in dunya with less information. The one who got most information, who assumes he's got information, who assumes he's got money, they are not living peaceful life, Mawlana Sahib. So this, the question is that, let's talk about Tahara, for example.
Yes.
And we want to educate ourselves, Mawlana Sahib.
Absolutely.
Going back to the basics is going back to the Sunnah of Rasulullah
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
It is to make ruju and return back to the asal. And the origin and asal is that we need to rectify our basic fundamental foundational structuring in order to be standing straight and as a strong pillar as a Muslim and believer, Mawlana Sahib.
Absolutely.
In order for our salahs and our ibadah to be accepted, in order for us to be those bandas whom Allah would love, is that we need to show more interest towards going back to the basics and learning those masail that will make our salah be accepted, Mawlana Sahib.
Yes,
that will be the reason for our namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, and any other ibadah that we perform for it to be accepted. So once again, Mawlana Sahib, what are some of the common mistakes that you have noticed? I'm sure Mawlana Sahib has also. But imagine the person is reading salah for the last 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. And he says that this is all I had learned from the last 30, 40 years. So you can't come and tell me it's done like that, because I know my Munshi Sahib was a very staunch namazi. He was a strong namazi. You know, he was in a person, never missed his salah. But I've learned it like this from my teachers, or have heard it like that. So what are some common mistakes that you have seen and you feel that people should know this and they don't show any interest, Mahasar? There's namazi janaza, there's normal salah, there's mistakes done in roza. But the interest of attaining that ilm and knowledge, which makes your farz become be accepted, is what way people do not pay any attention and do not focus at all. Yes,
you know, I want to draw attention to something that is even maybe more basic than some of the things that Mawlana Sahib discussed. Many of us have overlooked things as basic as cleanliness before even getting to salah. And we think that cleanliness is about using good washing powders and putting clothes in good washing machines and then having a bath, and that's about it. But the reality of it is, first we need to be, in order to enter the masjid, in order to touch the Holy Quran, in order to recite the Holy Quran, we need to be in the state of ghusl. And if we ask people, what is ghusl? Or ask ourselves, what is ghusl? What is our response? So ghusl is taking a bath. Do we know that there are certain things that are fard in ghusl? If we don't do that, then ghusl is not valid. For example, as per the Hanafi madhab, there are three fara'id of ghusl.
Yep.
The washing of the nose, and the details of this you'll find within books like Laws of Salah, within books like Bahari Shariat, available in English and in Urdu. So Laws of Salah, you download on dawatislami.net, that washing of the nose properly, and then washing of the mouth properly, and then washing of the entire body. But yet, how many times when people perform ghusl, people just consider that I need to wash the outside of my body and that's about it. If I wash my mouth, okay, but we don't focus on, do I need to wash my, does water need to actually enter my nose, at least until the beginning of the heart bone? Does water need to enter that much? We just think that blowing of the nose has covered it. Allah. So in this case,
oh, many don't even know that blowing, rinsing of the nose is part of the first.
Part of the ghusl, yes. So in this case, let's say if somebody made ghusl without washing the nose, so then ghusl is not complete. Washing the outside of the nose and just blowing the nose, water didn't go into the nostrils. So ghusl is not complete. Now just let me draw our attention a little bit here. Do we know that majority of the problems that people face of the trouble of jinn, where jinn trouble people, is because of not being in the state of tahara, not being in the state of cleanliness, not having
Allahu
ghusl.
Akbar.
I've heard of Sayyidi Huzur Mufti Azam Hind rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that he would teach people regarding ghusl in order to have them protected from the evil of jinn. That imagine we want a fancy, something, you know, very special ta'weez must be written. Someone must give us such an amal that we've never heard of this practice before, and that's the one we want to do for protection from jinn. Did we realize that protection from evil, protection from evil jinn and the evils of jinn can be found in us correcting our ghusl, that we perform ghusl in the right way? The perfection of salah can be attained, but once you start performing wudu properly, if the wudu wasn't performed properly, then the next step, which is salah, is not valid.
Right.
So we have to ensure the ghusl is proper, the wudu is proper, then the salah is proper. But in this meantime, whilst we were discussing, you know, matters of wudu and matters of ghusl, that's the time that we were wandering somewhere else and we were hoping that discussions of the sun and moon and the different orbits and so on take place. Then we lost these basic things and we are looking for something very fancy. I know very well that alhamdulillah we do discuss, you know, we usually have Jumu'ah bayanat. Bayanat, they take place on Jumu'ah and at Ijtima and so on. Just a question that if we had to walk into a masjid in which the Imam Sahib was discussing, was teaching people in the Jumu'ah khutbah, was teaching people regarding the correct method of performing wudu or ghusl, how many people do we think will have interest in that? So ask ourselves, will we have interest? But the moment we hear, today I'm going to discuss the wudu of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately it's like people switch off, and next week I will continue it. Next week you'll find the crowd will drop as well. Yet if you were going to say that I'm going to discuss the distance of the planets from Earth and how they orbit, etc., etc. Yes, in this case, all the attention is there, or certain affairs of different countries or of different stars in the sky. So that's when more and more people come. So those are very attractive to us. Yet, the basics of Islam is that which we're going to be questioned about. You'll be questioned regarding Salah. Rasulullah ﷺ taught us that the first question on the Day of Judgment would be regarding salah. And if that salah is good, if you succeed in that, then everything becomes easy for us. But we need to find a correct source of knowledge, a strong source of knowledge, and gain from that. And inshallah, azza wa jal, then we'll gain authentic knowledge.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. And I hope that this information that Mawasab has parted tonight, MashaAllah, serves as motivation for us all in order for us to go and obtain that actual ilm and knowledge, Ya Sayyidi. So Alhamdulillah, this is a great, great motivation for all the viewers of Madini channel. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, whatever information you have, the passion that you have to seek your ilm, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah. But yes, dear viewers, this will always be said, no matter how much of knowledge we have pertaining to, you know, different sciences, at the end of the day, Islam wants your foundation to be strengthened. And that foundation is so simple, because if your foundation is strong, the building will stand strong, inshallah, azza wa jalla. You will understand complex masail so easily. But at this moment, if person just has done self-studies without any teacher, Maulana Sahib, you get a lot of people who debate, especially many of the debaters that we find from the common people, are those who have done self-studies, you know. You just download a book, you just buy a book, you just get a book without any teacher to explain what this mas'ala actually means.
Right.
You know, what are the reasonings behind it. why it's jaiz or why it's not jaiz. Mm. But I think people leave this qiyas to themselves and they will decide, you know, as to what I think is the outcome of this masla without even confirming this with others. However, we have a little bit of time left, Mulana Sahib, and I think we're going to be coming towards the end of the program. You mentioned some important things about Tahara, mashallah, right? And I would request the viewers of Madini channel that Mulana Sahib just mentioned the tariqa of ghusl. I am confirming that I have myself met with several people whom I asked about ghusl and they did not know.
Mm.
Despite being matriculated, mashallah, despite having teachers that they went to madrasa, so on and so forth, but it slips the mind, Mulana.
Yes.
Sometimes it just leaves the mind. You may just not know. Maybe you have understood it wrongly from the teacher.
Mm.
It happens. It happens. But to know that, no, this knowledge what I have is sufficient for me to go into Jannah.
Allahu
Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You trust yourself a lot, dear viewer. We should actually trust the rahmat of Allah Azza wa Jalla and motivate yourself to go and search for ilm-e-deen. You know, run for knowledge as if it is your lost property. Mm. Allahu Akbar. But it's like somebody came and told you whilst you're sitting in the masjid, whilst sitting at some place, you know what, your cell phone was found there or your wallet was found there. That person would drop and leave whatever he's doing and he will chase for what he has left, you know, because it's your valuable thing.
Yes.
You don't want to lose. So just as we run for our lost property that's so valuable, we do not treat the same for ilm-e-deen. Sahaba Ikram Ali Ridwan traveled 1 month journey just to learn one hadith. What did my aqa say? Here, dars is being taught just at your doorstep. People find it lazy to even come out of the shop to listen what the muballigh is saying.
Mm.
Allahu Akbar. It's just a challenge, Mulana Sahib. So anyways, namaz is far upon us all.
Right.
I have attended many janazas. And our topic is going back to the basics. Common mistakes that I have seen, for example, in janaza, before we go to the five gili salas, Mulana Sahib. A salam that's made, actually niyat, and what's to be recited for the adult, male, female, children. These duas are very important for us to learn. And some people may find it difficult to learn and by heart and remember these duas. In their childhood days, it never happened. So maybe it's difficult now at this very moment as well. But aside from those duas that need to be recited, right, in your dua janaza, I have noticed, like, even when it comes to exiting from salah, from namaz janaza, the salam is done incorrectly. Positionings are incorrect at times. Some may not know what to recite, how many times you make takbir. Mistakes are performed because it's not a namaz done every day unless you are in a janaza. People die every day, but it's not that we attend every janaza in the city and town. So when you do attend, it slips the mind. But again, these are common mistakes. And I've seen learned people in society, not ulama, I'm talking about the general public who have immense knowledge and ilm related to dunyawi matters. But this last rite of that of your father who passed away, you could not even perform your father's janaza correctly.
Allah.
And this is because of not having that basic knowledge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very unfortunate here. It's because we've looked at everything else and we've neglected these very basic matters. Whilst the very basic and the foundation was that which was important. And Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, it's also a lesson to parents as well. That you have children. You want for them to fulfill your funeral rites, isn't it? You want for them to do isale thawab for you. You want for them to recite Quran Sharif and send the thawab to you. So how are they going to do all of that if they don't have the knowledge of how to do that? Nor did we have the knowledge to be able to teach them.
Agree.
But for those who were listening and you thought that, you know, wow, there's so much that I was supposed to have learned. And people actually avoid telling their children to learn these things because the children might come back and ask that, is this right or is this right? And then we don't know what to say. So we'd rather change the topic. But there's a way for you to be able to learn it now. You can learn it wherever you are, whatever your age is, you can still learn it. And the solution to that lies in the environment of Dawat-e-Islam. Really, genuinely lies in the environment of Dawat-e-Islam. We have seen people who have listened to the method of ghusl and wudu at the ages of 60 and 70 years old, when the beard and the hair has turned white, has turned gray. And they would tell you that today is the first day I have learned about ghusl. Today is the first day I have learned about the faraid of wudu. If we ask ourselves, how many faraid in wudu? Many times we don't pay attention to this. Whilst really there are 4 faraid in wudu. How many sunnahs there are? Let's say wajibat in salah. Our ustaz sahib used to ask us often, late Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi sahib, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. He would ask sometimes, how many wajibat are there in salah? And everybody is astounded. there are wajibat in salah? That yes, there are wajibat in salah. If you open the book, the of Amir al-Sunnat, Namaz ke Ahkam, which is laws of salah, Amir al-Sunnat mentions 30 things that are wajib in salah.
Yet if a wajib is violated, sajda sahwi is wajib.
Yes, if a wajib is missed intentionally, yes, then sajdatu sahwi becomes wajib. If a wajib is delayed unintentionally, sajdatu sahwi becomes wajib. But then again, sajdatu sahwi, what is that? You know, there are many things that we don't pay attention to. We don't learn regarding these things. Yet, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. It's not just that the problem is there. Dawud-e-Sami is such a Dawud-e-Sami gives the solution to the problem. So it's not just life is full of problems. Don't worry. There are solutions. And the solution is attached to this beautiful environment of Dawud-e-Sami. That if you want to learn, if you've got a knack to learn by reading, so alhamdulillah, books are available on dawatislami.net that simplifies matters of salah, matters of wudu, matters of ghusl, matters of salatul janazah, method of fatiha, method of adhan, blessings of adhan, everything, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. So this book, Laws of Salah, it's a must-have, really. It's a must-have on your cell phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, on your computer, or the hard copy, it's a must-have. Then if instead of learning by just reading, you like to learn by looking, by watching. So then alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, there's Madani channel through which you can learn so many basic masail as well. Then maybe you learn by doing better.
Yeah.
Then there's Madani Qafila. So if you you get these different forms of learning. You get people who are audio learners, people who are visual learners, people who are they say kinetic learners, or they learn by doing.
I agree with you.
So within Madani Qafila, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, I've attended so many Madani Qafilas in which you will practically perform salah, meaning perform the postures of salah in order to learn the postures of salah. Where there's someone that's, amazing, no matter how old you are, you could be 40, 50, 60, 70, there's an Amir-e Qafila or a teacher within the Qafila as well that will teach you, physically show you, then you will do the postures of salah and they will correct you that bend the toes in this way, straighten the back in that way, raise the hands to this certain level when you are saying takbir. When you're saying Allahu Akbar, this is how you tie the hands, where the hands should be tied.
Mashallah.
Amazing, amazing, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. One more important thing I want to highlight, that within Dawat Islami, the method of teaching is such that you're not tested before you are taught. You're not tested before you are taught. You are taught before you are tested. Mm-hmm. So people might feel that, oh, but if I attend that Madani Qafila, if I attend that Madrasatul Madina Baligan, that session where adults are learning the deen of Islam, then people will come to know of how I don't know how to perform salah. No, no. People don't come to know that. We just have this thought in our mind. Yet when you go there, you realize everyone is taught. And taught in such a basic way that everyone understands. And then only you are asked to do. So then when you are asked to do, it's after you have learned. And then whilst you are doing, if you make mistakes, well, there are others that are making mistakes too. So everyone is learning and everyone is being corrected. And so in that way, it becomes a very wholesome environment. That nobody feels bad that I didn't
That's
know. In fact, you feel happy that I'm getting to know. And you might not know. There are people sometimes within Madani Qafila that you're standing next to people, someone who doesn't know, didn't learn it before, is standing there. And next to him, an alim ad-din is also standing. And they are both listening and they are both being taught. Yet one, the alim ad-din knows it very well. But the way he learns, as if he doesn't know it. And the way the one who doesn't know it learns, as if he also doesn't know it. So nobody comes to realize that he didn't know and he knew. No, everybody is learning. And when we learn, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, within that qafila, maybe half knew and half didn't know. But the half that didn't know got to learn in such a way that they were never made to feel bad like they don't know. In fact, they were just uplifted, they were enlightened, and when you leave that environment, there's so much that you've learned and you've developed yourself, even though you might not say to anyone that I've learned so much. But alhamdulillah, within yourself, you feel that, thank you, O Allah. Today I have learned so much about the deen and about the basics of Islam that was neglected throughout my life, and today it was shown to me. I feel so much more uplifted, so much more enlightened. Now when I perform sajda, at least I have confidence that I'm performing sajda the way Rasulullah ﷺ taught me to perform sajda.
And trust me, Mawlana Sahib, after the ibadat are performed correctly, you find peace and tranquility, Mawlana.
Yes.
Read one salah with khushu and khuzu, and after understanding how my posture should be.
Yes.
That one salah as compared to other 50 salahs that a person performed just roughly anyhow without knowing the basics of salah.
Yes.
That one salah is actually heavier over all the other salahs.
Subhanallah.
And that person may remember that one salah he performed in the correct method.
Yes.
It's because he enjoyed that worship. Yani he enjoyed being in ibadat of Allah Kareem.
Alhamdulillah.
Because he understood how that worship should be performed.
Yes.
Because Allah Kareem wants you to perform his ibadat in its correct method and correct formula. So mashallah, I would say, you know, as people, we're coming to the end of the program. And in terms of nasiha and advice, there's no need for you to have that excess information. It's better you never knew about, you know, the obits and about intricate matters that doesn't concern you. But you should know, if you're a wife, what are the rights of my wife? Basic matters. What does Quran say? What does Hadith say? How should I be in my marriage? After which you can learn whatever you want to learn. But the basic hukuk is because we are violating the rights day and night. Wife violates the rights of the husband. Husband violates the rights of his wife. Do you know why? Because we know every other thing about marriage except for the basics of marriage. What's my wife's right? If a husband just has to ask his wife, tell me what's my rights as a husband. What can I demand for as a husband? What is my rights as a husband? How many wives out there know, as per Quran and Hadith, what your husband, what are the rights of your husband? Likewise, how many husbands out there know the rights of their wives? We know a little, but is that little enough for you to be happy in your marital life? No. That's the reason for those quarrels and argumentations and so many other problems in life, especially in marital life, is because of not knowing basics.
Yes.
If the marriage can be affected by not knowing the basics, why do you think your ibadat can't be affected by not knowing the basics? Yes. Every other worship will be affected. It can be thrown back onto our faces on the Day of Judgment. So, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Qur'an Pak has emphasized and encouraged us, Mawlana Sahib, to ask the people of knowledge, to ask the people of ilm. And just before we end, Mawlana Sahib, I'm seeing time is up. We have like a minute, inshallah, before we close up today's program. The people, parents out there, I mean, I'm also a father of, mashallah, some children. Allah Kareem has blessed me with awlad as well, alhamdulillah. And we all want our children to be knowledgeable. We all want them to go and we teach them. You know, you don't have to follow here, just go and obtain the ilm. You don't have to believe in what they're saying. Just go and learn what they're saying. Then you go there and learn what that person is saying. Then you go there and learn what that person is saying. I have met fathers who want their children from young days to be like that. You don't have to follow that person. You don't have to follow that person. Just go and learn ilm al-Deen. These are the ones who are very lost in life. They know what each party and each group thinks or believe in, but they don't know which one to follow. So they say, I'm neutral. in the end gear. I can't go first or second gear because you know what? If I go first gear, I'm going to join that group. If I go second gear, I'm going to join that group. Every gear got some groups. So I want to be neutral, you know? And follow what my heart says because I know what Islam wants from me. I know what my Allah wants from me. But how in the world do you think like this when Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ali, great Aimma Ikram, Mawlana Sahib. I mean, look at what was the reason for Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala to have his own madhab. When Imam Azam Abu Hanifa is this, knowledge is ilm and is direction to the Shafi'i, mashallah, to the Shawafi Hazrat. It's all correct and it's fine for us to understand that, yes, this is what Imam Shafi'i says, this is what Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, but still I'm, what, whom I follow? You've got to follow one of the madhahib despite having ilm and knowledge related to all madhahib. But we follow one. But in comes to other matters, no, the brother has all information about sunniyat, about aqaid matters, but I will follow what my heart says. And this is where we're stuck, Mawlana Sahib. And these are the people who cause a lot of damages to the deen at times, we notice. We have come to the end of the program, however, we make dua that Allah Kareem keeps us guided. Mawlana Sahib, any parting words from your side, inshallah?
Yes, this beautiful thing that al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. Knowledge is gained through learning. And you, it has to be where you dedicate time in your life, where you dedicate your efforts and you actually try to seek the knowledge that someone is teaching and you are absorbing. So look for good teachers, learn from them. Alhamdulillah, on Madani channel you have good teachers as well. And you have Faizan Online Academy, you have Madrasatul Madina for adults, madrasa classes, you have Madani Qafila. These are ways of ta'allum that you can actually go out and seek knowledge of deen. Sometimes we might have to leave our comfort zone, but you're leaving your comfort zone for something that is worth so much. It's going to benefit you here in dunya, in the qabr, in the akhirah. Really, it's worth stepping off our seat, getting off our seat onto our feet and going to the masjid to learn a little bit. And it'll take us a long way, inshallah.
Mashallah. Once again, Ya Sayyidi, We really appreciate Mawasa's presence.
Alhamdulillah.
And for sharing and parting such beautiful Mazani pearls, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Guiding the Ummah at large. Today our discussion was back to the basics. Let's make tawbah. Let's make rujoo, inshallah, azawajalla. Let's learn the basics of our marital life, inshallah, about nikah, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, so that we can attain more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Amen.
And we will find peace and sukoon in our lives, inshallah, azawajalla. May Allah Kareem save us from the tricks of shaitan. May Allah Kareem grant us ilm nafi', beneficial knowledge.
Amen.
May Allah Kareem become pleased with us. Until then, keep reciting durood and salawat upon Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah. Reformation of Ummah.